This episode is part of the Pool's Local Officials Stronger Together podcast series. It's one way we serve local officials through integrity, public service, fiscal responsibility, and operational excellence. As always, please direct specific questions about coverage to your risk management advisor.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Risk Pool Stronger Together podcast series. I'm your host, Scott Houston. In this episode, I want to talk about the pool's rates for all lines of coverage for the 2024-2025 fund year. And rather than hear me talk, I just want to jump right into two interviews I did on the rates. So let's get this party started. I'm now joined by Jeff Thompson, the pool's executive director. Welcome as usual, Jeff.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to the membership.
Yep, sounds good. So let's talk about rates and the market and all these things that are happening right now at the pool. Tell me about the state of the insurance market right now and kind of how that plays into the state of the pool.
You know, the state of the insurance market is pretty unsettled right now, particularly on the property side. Any of you who've gotten your homeowner's insurance renewals here of late will see that there's been quite a bit of news stories and the like out there about, you know, double-digit rate increases. And behind the scenes here at the pool, we see some of the same pressures that are driving those double-digit rate increases, you know, increased weather events. Certainly the cost of reinsurance, which is the insurance that we buy as a coverage organization to make sure that we remain financially sound and viable. Got inflation, of course, that's affecting a lot of those things. There's a term that we talk about sort of in our circles called social inflation that is driving a lot of liability awards and verdicts. We've seen that in a number of our liability claims of late, coming up, you know, popping its head up in certain places, but almost to the point where it's becoming more of a trend that we are seeing. Kind of the view of juries and the view of the legal community on what the value of certain types of losses are. So there are pressures all around.
Jeff, what is the pool doing to deal with those pressures you just spoke about?
What we are doing is trying to insulate our members from a lot of those pressures, phasing in longer term trends gradually so it doesn't have a huge budget impact year to year.
And one thing you and I have talked about in the past is why it's beneficial to provide multiple lines of coverage.
When we look at the three major lines of coverage that the pool has, which is workers' comp, liability, and property, all three are very different from an overall financial standpoint and the way that we manage them. Property is sort of fast cash, if you will. You get a contribution in, you pay out claims pretty quickly. On the other side of that, you have workers' comp, which you get your contributions in annually, and then claims take a long time to pay, particularly a death claim or even a long-term disability claim. It could take as long as 50 years for us to pay that out. Obviously, that's not the case with property. Liability is somewhere in the middle of that. You'll see some auto liability claims go pretty quick, but then you can have legal claims that run on for the better part of 10 years. There's benefit to that, though, because just like you diversify your investment portfolio, we're diversifying our cash flows, and we're able to do things that leverage those lines across one another in a way that creates the stability that the pool is able to provide. So it's almost a diversified investment portfolio if you look at it from a pure fiduciary standpoint. And because we are writing multiple lines of coverage, we actually are able to charge a little bit less and hold a little bit less in terms of overall assets because we have that diversified cash flow.
And I think that's a good segue into the fact that our mission statement speaks to stable rates, and it also speaks to loss prevention, which, of course, avoiding claims before they begin is always the best route that a member can go. First of all, how do we work to stabilize our rates and keep our rates as low as we can but also ensure that we've got enough money in the bank to help when they need it from a big hit.
Yep. Our organization is not unlike any other large insurance organization. They buy, as I mentioned before, reinsurance. And what we are trying to do is to remove the catastrophe from the potential of hitting our financial statement. So, for example, in property, if we have a $100 million loss, for example, across all of our membership, well, we buy reinsurance to make sure we minimize the impact of that from both a short-term and a long-term perspective. It allows us to bleed in over time the cost of those big storms as opposed to having to fund it all in one year. That's one of the ways that we do it. And it's really pointed towards, all right, what is it that could cause a catastrophic loss to the pool? And we protect against that.
Got it. And so the final part of that kind of question that I laid out a moment ago is, what can we do to help members avoid claims altogether? Because again, that's the point, right? We don't want to see people injured. We don't want to see people killed. We don't want to see property damage. And of course, some of those are unavoidable, but what do we do to help members avoid claims altogether?
Well, I mean, you said it earlier, loss prevention is written directly into our mission statement. And you know, loss prevention, we think of it sort of internally as our loss prevention department, but it's really a lot more than just one department. It's sort of part of everything that we do as an organization. If you think about even from a property standpoint, once you have a loss, having the services that we have to help our members control those claims costs, even after you have a loss.
That's right. And you're talking about our turnkey recovery programs, and we explain those in episodes 4 and 6 of this podcast. What's another way?
It's managing a large lawsuit or a large liability claim in a way that not only benefits the membership as a whole, but the member individually as well.
And I know you wanted to mention our cyber coverage, but from the loss prevention standpoint as well.
You know, the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I would say in the cyber side of things, a quarter ounce of prevention is worth 500 pounds of cure. And that statement alone will really help, I think, members understand the approach that we've taken to cyber coverage. Our coverage itself is a modicum of coverage. If you need large limits or something like that, we can help you find those, but we're not taking a big financial risk on that coverage piece. Where we are spending a lot of efforts, where we are spending our resources, is on the loss prevention piece.
Also remember, we've done several podcast episodes on that, including episode 9 through 9D. With my favorite being 9C, in which we hear from a city that got hit and how hard their recovery has been. And also 9D, which is our DIR certified state required annual training video.
So what we're trying to do is to work with our members to get that groundswell of participation or that groundswell of protection for their programs. Then you don't need the cyber coverage. Then you don't need the insurance part of that.
Yep. That's the point, right? It's like having a dog at home. Burglars don't want to mess with one, so they won't even come to your house, even if it's just a chihuahua. Oh no, I'm going to hear from the chihuahua owners, aren't I? Thanks, Jeff. Let's now head into our actual rates explanation for 2024-2025. Okay, I'm now joined by Aaron Hardiman, who's our Manager of Risk Services, to talk about rates for our specific lines. Thanks for being here today, Aaron.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
So we're going to be doing a standalone episode on our updated cyber coverage, but I thought it made sense to just mention that here and talk about not really rates in that case, but the contribution increases. So tell us about that new cyber fund and then how the rates will be increasing.
Well, Scott, we've continued to see escalation of frequency and severity of cyber claims. As you're aware, cybercrime is an industry now. And so our program started back in 2016. And since its inception, we've seen that increase in frequency and severity every year. And as we were looking at the program this year, we realized that we really needed to separate that from the rest of our funds. And so, therefore, we have made a new cyber fund, which is an opt-in approach. So any member that wants to continue that coverage this year will need to sign an interlocal agreement. Along with that, we've had some adjustments to the limits that are available, as well as the pricing associated with it. So it is a completely separate fund.
Got it. So members should be on the lookout for communications from the pool with instructions on how to maintain their cyber coverage. Let's go on to the three basic lines we provided for decades. We'll start with property coverage. The rates for this coverage continue to rise, although not as steeply as in recent years. Tell us about property, Aaron.
You know, Scott, Texas is just a tough property market right now. It's not just been impacting our membership. It's impacting everybody throughout the entire state. So whether it's commercial property or residential property, the state has over 100% loss ratio over the past 5 years for all types of property insurance.
Yeah, I've read about that, actually. For every dollar every insurance company in Texas brings in, they're paying out more than a dollar. In other words, they're losing money.
We're also seeing restriction of coverage from private carriers throughout the state. So typically, you're going to see higher deductibles, you're going to see higher rates, and in a lot of cases, carriers aren't even riding in areas that are prone to hail events. So this year, the pool took a moderate approach with our rates this year. So on real and personal property, we're going to see a 9% increase on those. The inflationary factor that's going to apply to both building and contents this year will be 3%. That's prompted by the continued increased cost of construction and repairs for property.
Now, those are the general rates for most members, but one class, housing authorities, will see higher increases. Tell us why that is.
So, Scott, housing authorities, I think there's two things that really impact housing authorities. But over the past 10 years in the program, housing authorities have always had over 100% loss ratio associated with property. And there's two reasons for that. One is their spread of risk. They really don't have a large spread of risk for their locations. So typically, if they're going to suffer a loss, say for hail, it's going to impact their entire location. The second piece of that is they all have residential roof systems on them that are very prone to damage to any type, size of hail or wind.
What do those two things translate to in terms of actual rates?
So housing authorities in general are going to have a 24% increase for their RPP rate. And then they are also going to have the inflationary factor, which is 3% for building and contents this year.
And we're also adding a new endorsement for housing authorities that generally requires that they use our turnkey recovery programs for repairs, which typically provide better materials for less cost. Let's go back to talking about the membership in general. Auto liability and property coverage is facing many challenges right now. Tell us about that.
We've got a moderate increase this year associated with those. And it all stems from a couple things on physical damage to auto. So whether it's a hail event or accident that's occurred, we've continued to see increased cost in those repairs. So with that being said, we're going to see a auto physical damage increase of 10% and auto catastrophe of 10% as well. Now, keep in mind, those coverages are for the actual vehicle itself. On auto liability, we are seeing a continued escalation of claims associated with lawsuits on those. And so we are going to have an increase associated with auto liability this year as well. They'll see a 7% increase on auto liability.
Gotcha. And so that's auto liability. I think everybody who has a personal vehicle knows and has been in an accident knows that that's a driver that's happening in that area. But what about general liability? Our general liability rates are actually holding steady with no rate change this fund year. How did we manage that?
So, yes, general liability, along with our E&O rates and our professional lines, like law enforcement liability, we're not seeing any rate changes associated with those. And really, that stems from the fact that if you look at our reserves trending, we've been seeing an increase in the amount of reserves. However, our paid amount has been staying steady over this time period. And so for that reason, we're not going to have any rate pressure on any of those lines this year.
That's good news for members. I actually started at the top with the lines that would have some increases, and we've kind of steadily gone down. So we saw that general liability is going to be holding steady. But when you get to workers' comp coverage, we're actually lowering rates for the first time in some time. Tell me about that. Why is that possible?
Yeah, we're really excited about these rate changes associated with workers' compensation, Scott. And predominantly, the reason for that is that COVID presumption bill had expired, and we've also had all those COVID losses start to fall off of our loss history. And so for that reason, we're seeing some significant decreases associated with firefighters this year, police officers, motorcycle officers, and ambulance services. Each one of those class codes are going to receive a negative 12% on their rates this year. We're also decreasing street and road and parks and recreation this year by 5%. So I think it's going to be a great year for our membership on the workers' compensation side. Now, I would like to add that we're still continuing to see growth in exposure on workers' compensation annually. And that's just because of all the growth that we're seeing in Texas. And that exposure is the payroll associated with each one of those positions.
Right. And what you mean is part of our workers' compensation formula is based on a city's payroll, which makes sense because the more people a city has, the more their contribution will be to cover those extra employees. Thanks for being here, Aaron. Okay, let's start with your action items for today. Action item number one. Everyone should remember that rates aren't the only thing that determines your contribution or premium. We call it the contribution. Aaron, tell us what exactly we base the contribution on. Walk us through that.
So we base our contribution on three attributes. So the first being the experience. So that's the loss experience of a member. Now, if you have a good loss experience, you have to think about experience as we look at what we expect to lose with everybody in our program. If your loss experience is less than what we're expecting to lose, then you get a decrease in the amount of your annual contribution. If it's above what we think it's going to be, then obviously that's going to impact your rate as well. Then we've got our base rate, which is voted on annually at our April board meeting by the board, which makes up the other piece of it. And then the final piece is the exposure. A good example on exposure would be like a property location. If you have a new piece of property, obviously that's going to impact your exposure, which would also impact your contribution.
How does this work with workers' compensation and liability coverages?
On the workers' compensation line of coverage, we look at your last three audited fund years. And so that is where we get your loss history from. And then we average that out. And then on liability, we look at 3 or 4 years of loss history. And whichever one benefits the member more is the calculation that we'll use for that experience modifier.
Okay, what about action item number two? Remember that even though this is action item number two, the number one thing you can do to keep your contributions low is to stop claims before they start. To that end, reach out to your designated safety and loss control consultant to learn how you can do that. I've linked their contact info below this podcast. And that's it. Thanks for trusting us and tune into another episode soon.
To review written materials associated with the presentation or to ask Scott a question, please visit www.tml.com. irp.org and click on the Stronger Together podcast link. Please remember that the information in this episode is provided for informational purposes only and doesn't constitute legal advice. We recommend that you review the podcast and the accompanying written materials with your attorney prior to taking action.